Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
And we ain't never going to break your stride.
You ain't going to hold me down.
Oh no.
I've got to keep on moving.
Or stop singing.
Awkward.
Welcome to the Cubby House for show number 14. Cubbing to you from the Dungeon Studios. I'm Cookie.
And I'm Jack.
And I'm Ryan.
Aha. Now, tonight's show, we have a wonderful dare to be foretold. And that is, first of all, you, Jack, were flagged for making an inappropriate comment.
It sounded something like this. And the square root of something. Square root.
And you,
wow, I was an asshole.
Yeah, you were. We rolled the dice and you had the dare challenge. Now, we've come up with the most appropriate one for tonight, and that is you have to, for the next 5 minutes, speak in an alternative voice.
An alternative voice? Well, in that case, I think I might slip into character. I'm getting myself into the zen. I'm Heathcliff from Vancouver. For the next 5 minutes.
How is this punishment for Jack? This is punishment for everyone else listening.
Well, yeah, it's a dare, so we'll just see if we can maintain
it. All right, cool. Yeah.
Also on this show, we're going to talk about Twitter and how we define friends from it.
We're also going to talk about our gay needs and how they relate to real life.
And also, we're going to talk about our weird habits and our guilty pleasures. Oh, I am excited.
Plus the regular shout-outs and a few more announcements all to be made towards the end of the show. Thanks for tuning in. First of all, we'd like to drag everybody's attention. If you're near the computer, go onto YouTube and type in Trouble with Twitterers.
Or you can find it on the Cubby House website.
www.thecubbyhouse.net.au. The reason I, first of all, allude you to this particular scene is the fact that we've all watched it and we kind of feel it actually speaks a lot of truth in what it says. And it kind of brought up the question in my mind, how far do we define friends in the age of technology?
Well, as Heathcliff, with a doctorate in sociology from the University of Vancouver, I'm going to have to say that we are going toward a trend of individualization, that there is less value placed on our group as a community, and actually what's important is what we do individually and just hope that other people are paying attention, that this is how people are trying to find meaning in their lives by trying to inject whatever the hell they're doing into somebody else's.
I agree completely. I blame reality TV. You know, when did we come so obsessed about, you know, what's the goings on in other people's lives and paparazzi and all that sort of stuff? And this is our own little paparazzi thing that we can control. We can share with people that, you know, we just picked an unusual booger out of our nose. We can share that we saw somebody that looked like Gary Coleman at the supermarket. We just come out with this random crap that doesn't really make any sense. And it doesn't really matter who is listening as long as someone is.
Everybody's a celebrity.
Now, we have spoken previously on previous podcasts that what's acceptable is to how many tweets, but my kind of suggestion in looking at that is we all have Twitter accounts. How often do we use them for us?
I have a Twitter account. I have two friends and I've used it once, and that was the day that I created it. I don't use Twitter at all. In fact, I rarely use Facebook. Heathcliff?
I don't have a Twitter account. I don't. I am more of a passive observer of culture rather than a participant.
Well, it looks like I've probably got the most active Twitter account out of the three of us, and I'd be suffice to say I'd put on at least one to two tweets a week.
One of the curious things about being a Twitterer, I'm not quite too sure what the noun, the collective...
A Twitterer. Maybe.
But you've actually got applications that try and assign you a sense of worth on the base of how many tweets you have done. For example, you can enter in your Twitter username and it'll actually tell you what the equivalent to that number of tweets is to your penis size. For example, if you've got 5,000 tweets, then that could be the equivalent of, I don't know, 9 inches.
Wow.
Now, let's draw this back and say, what's that in relevance to a friend? Really? Come on. Is it relevant to being a, and I'll use inverted commas, friend?
Well, how many friends do you have on your Twitter account, Cookie?
I have about 15 people I follow.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those, I would probably say 10 of them are acquaintances at best.
Right.
The other 5, I probably know 2 of them, I have met 2 of them. And the remaining 3, I'm in good conversation with.
So you're following 10 people you kind of know,
hmm.
2 people you don't really have anything to do with, and 3 people that actually are close, you are close to.
No. 10 people I don't know. Out of the remaining 5, 2 people I know and have met face to face. The remaining...
So that's like an acquaintance?
No, they're the friends.
Okay.
Two out of the 15 are friends. The remaining 3, I would call internet friends because I haven't met them, but I have had conversations with them through other applications, such as Skype and MSN and all those sorts of things. And that's really because I can't physically see them. They're in another country. So out of 15 people, 5 I would consider valuable people.
Now, I've got a question for both of you. With Twitter, with Facebook, even going back as far as MSN and MySpace, with all these technical tools that are supposed to be social networking platforms, do you actually feel more connected, more closer to the people that you associate with?
Me personally, I feel slightly more isolated. Yes, it increases the amount of people you can talk to, but it decreases the quality of communication between two people. In most cases, degradates it down to either plain text or at best garbled vocals and low quality visual communication.
And you?
Not really. I mean, for me, it's Facebook, because I don't really use Twitter. Facebook for me is a way of being able to contact people about things that are going on in my life, so I don't have to keep repeating them. Like, for example, when I got a new job, I put it as my status update so everybody knew, and I was able to tell them what my job was rather than they go, how are you? Oh, I got a new job. Oh, that's wonderful. What are you doing? Blah. And then, you know, 3 days down the line, see somebody else. How have you been? Oh, I got a new job. Oh, blah. So rather than having to repeat myself over and over again, it was just bang. But as far as using them, I still catch up with my mates. I still go out, and I would much prefer to do that. That's mainly the reason why I'm only ever on Facebook for a maximum 5 minutes. What about yourself?
I've got a Facebook account and I update about 5 times a day. Sometimes it's song lyrics and other times it's things that I've posted from YouTube. And it's been Dolly Parton themed recently because I just love that musical, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. But the question about whether I feel more connected or not is a matter of dispute, because the people that I keep in contact with on Facebook are generally people that it's highly impractical to try and meet in a face-to-face situation, old high school friends, just people around the campus from my university. It's a big campus of 22,000 people. It's sometimes difficult to just kind of make things work. But I think that the more valuable elements of Facebook really are in just event planning. I mean, there are a lot of organizations out there which, instead of signing up to an email list like you had before, in which case is a good, you might get spammed, what happens is that they send out a blanket email to all the members of the group and everybody's kept informed.
Out of curiosity, another particular common application of Facebook is the photos. Now, besides showing photos of just yourself, do you think it is a more positive or negative thing that people randomly post scene pictures, events of things that people around their lives went to, but perhaps not others that might have liked to have gone?
I think it's a good thing. I mean, probably the best example I can think of was when mates of mine and I went to see Kylie Minogue in concert. One of the friends took photos, posted them on Facebook because they weren't able to go to the events, and everyone was like, oh, looks awesome and blah, blah, blah. I think that events like that, it's a good idea, but there has just recently been a SingStar party that I went to where there was hard feelings between certain people because they weren't invited. And I don't think it's the person who've posted the photos, it's their problem. It's people who are cracking the sad saying, oh, well, we weren't invited and blah, blah, blah. You know, I think those are the ones that, you know, really should get over it. And fair enough, it's a party. You probably weren't invited for a reason. So maybe that's not such a good idea, but it's a case-by-case scenario, personally. What are your feelings, Jack?
I think that sharing your photos and sharing experiences like that is probably a bit more valuable than just having a film in a cupboard somewhere or prints just in a wardrobe somewhere just collecting dust. That whether it's to people's own detriment, what you are doing is that you're chronicalizing your life in a pictorial way that perhaps, say, the status updates don't. So if I can probably say that I can tell more about a person from the photos that they have than the details that they have on the information page.
That's very true.
Now, that can be a bad thing as well, depending if you're
if you're a drag queen
or an employer looking for staff and going, ooh, this is what he gets up to in his private time. Oh, my God.
That's exactly what I was going to then flow to. Is it then audience appropriate to be going on to a general public viewing, or is it more wise to perhaps contain who it's viewed by?
There are privacy settings. Use them at your own discretion. It's not Facebook's fault that somebody else looks at your photos and judges you by it.
I wasn't disputing that it's Facebook's fault, but perhaps people aren't utilizing those privacies perhaps where they could have or should have.
People are going to post photos of what they want to express or what they want to show, so it's entirely up to them. I mean, I love horror movies, but you don't see photos of me putting like all bloody dead bodies and things like that on there, you know.
This is my favorite meat hook scene.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, that was a very evil laugh, Cookie. That was great. So I think it's like, if people want to show like drunken states of, you know, how shit-faced they were on the weekend, for example, fine, go for it. But if they feel that this is something that, you know, they don't think they, like their parents might be on their account or something, so they don't want their parents to see what they've been up to or something like that, then, you know, obviously they're not going to.
Now, going back to what you were saying before when it comes to the Twitter updates and the Facebook updates, is that there's an illusion that what you do has any given inherent value, and that by doing this you can establish, hey, I'm different from everybody else, look what I'm doing, yeah, I'm special and my opinions matter. Well, the truth is, I'm sorry to break it to you, but your opinions don't matter. You think you're cool, but you're just a sellout. You're just a conformist and you make me sick.
You're a sellout. You have Facebook.
I know, and I embrace it.
So let me...
I make myself sick.
Yes, you make us sick too.
Let me wrap this up with a 5-word answer from this question. Is Facebook filled with more friends or more acquaintances, in your opinion?
Well, more acquaintances. But that's really what it's for. I mean, I see my friends on a regular basis. It's for everybody else that tool is more there for.
Yourself, Rhino?
Well, it's a networking tool. You know, you have people out there that you don't know that you are quote-unquote trying to get out a message to or something like that, for example, which is networking. I mean, personally, yeah, of course, you know, a lot of the people on there are acquaintances, but I must admit, a majority, the number of people that I actually do know and I have met and spoken to and shared times with is a lot greater than the people that I don't know, that I haven't met and that I've only spoken to online.
Cookie.
Speak.
Ryan.
Jack.
You were the headphones. I have a problem, and the problem is that there seems to be discrepancies between how I feel and what I think when it comes to my sexuality.
Do tell us your discrepancies, Jack.
Well, it's what I think that it's a very liberal way of thinking that tolerate what everybody else is doing. It doesn't really concern you that people can have as much partners as they like as long as they're safe. But the problem is that I'm analyzing sexual politics, I'm studying sexual politics, but at the same time, I don't feel as though I'm participating in sexuality, that I'm engaging from it from an outsider's perspective. Now, maybe you could chalk that up to the fact that I'm 19, but there is a certain way that I feel as I'm supposed to feel towards other people, particularly when it comes to what I cover in class. And when it comes to how I look at other people and analyze their actions and how I look at myself, It's a different thing.
Are you trying to say that you're studying sexuality, but because you're not out there shagging every pretty cub out there, you feel that you're letting the team down?
I feel I'm not radical enough.
Life is not an episode of Queer as Folk.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
The world is not a beat.
But also, you've got the thing going on when it comes to getting said partners. I mean, admittedly, on my profile, I'm pretty laid back in what I'm asking, which is pretty much mutual respect is good. I like that.
Mm.
Honest questions deserve honest answers. But in reality, I think I'm a lot more demanding that overall I'm a fairly scared and nervous person, particularly when it comes to sexual encounters of a random nature. So even though I might say, hey, everybody, do what you want, when it comes to applying it to myself, I feel completely held back. And I've got other people saying, hey, just go out there, put aside your fears. And it's like, easier said than done.
So to simplify your conundrum, you're being influenced by your studies.
Yes.
To a certain trend of thinking. I won't say a certain way, but a certain trend of thinking. You're being encouraged by your peers to conform to the actions that they also pursue, which you may perceive as what you want, but what you can't have.
Mm-hmm.
And because what you expect from life at your age,
mm-hmm.
you're finding it hard to deal with what you are currently not obtaining.
But find that it's also a problem that at the last couple of weeks particularly, I've been finding myself extremely sexually frustrated. But the problem is that there's like this big blockage in my head, which is like, don't go with this. There's a good chance that it's going to be at your own detriment.
Can you give an example of that in particular?
Well, it's a bit like that online example, how people keep on saying, Jack, you're cute, you're gorgeous, how come you don't see that? Well, maybe I do recognize it, but I don't necessarily think, I don't think I trust other people enough to be able to go out and have random encounters like that. So overall, what I'm left is just feeling a bit sexually frustrated and anxious and lonely in a way.
But you just sound as if you're a bit old-fashioned. You seem to, you know, you want to get to know someone before you get down and dirty with them. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I must admit that when I was your age, and this isn't trying to rub salt in the wound or anything, but when I was 19, I probably shagged about 100 guys each year.
Slut.
I was horny.
But still, slut.
Me.
Well, it's a...
But now, I mean, like last year, I probably did less than a fifth of that. I mean, granted, I was in a relationship, but I mean, I'm just too busy to have sex. And I am an old-fashioned kind of guy. I don't want to just hook up with some guy, shag, and go. I like to hold someone afterwards. And, you know, I like to court and all that sort of stuff. So it's kind of hard to just have a random shag when you do have those feelings.
Yeah, but it's also the fact that it also shapes your impressions of other people, particularly ones that aren't quite so reserved. So you're in this climate where you're constantly hearing about other people's actions and other people's experiences. And overall, you keep on hearing, I keep on thinking, I don't want to hear any more of this. I don't believe in words like whore or slut because simply because it's gendered language, meaning, and it's a double standard for the most part that's put on women and not men. I kind of think to people that say, 40 people in the last 3 months, I'm like, damn you. I mean, I'm all for it, but how about a little bit my way? So it's a bit of a conflict.
Jack, I'm just going to do what Ryan's done.
Yes.
But guess what?
What?
You are me 6 years ago.
Oh, dear. Here we go, walking down memory lane.
No.
Cue music.
Yeah, it's not too long. Shut up.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 cock. Bum, 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 bum.
Wow, that's dangerously close to a flag.
Yeah. In all honesty, the only time I've really ever had a random is when I went to a sauna. I was supposed to meet somebody. They didn't show up and I was still in the mood. So I just found the next person I could and did them.
Mm.
And having done them, I'm grateful to say I wouldn't go back there and do it again. Now, I can appreciate you not wanting to do that because from taking just from my experience, it's something you may regret. But for me, I say I looked back on it and say, well, it was an experience. It was at the time. And I let my morals down. So I think, I personally think of you as a better person for not giving into those one-offs here and there and actually wanting to have some sort of connection with a person who you end up courting. But I do agree, at your age and where you are and what you hear, it is very difficult. And I just find, well, for my part, the only way I got on with it is I started experimenting with different things that turned me on. And it was just, it wasn't to go out there and get sex, but it was to stop and understand myself better, because in the early years, I did have a lot of impotency problems. Mm. And it was just one of those ways that to learn how to be better at it, I first had learned how to be better with myself than with other people.
So you're saying you have to love yourself before you can love others?
Well, yes and no. A lot of people hate themselves yet love a lot of people.
Yeah, I guess you can say that. But yeah. I mean, you have to love yourself to allow yourself to be loved by other people. Wow, this is getting really churchy and D&M and stoned, and we should be eating like Twisties and Tim Tams right
with
now.
With the Dark Side of the Moon playing exactly. on there, yeah. faintly in the background.
Yeah. But in all honesty, it's one thing to say, don't worry about it, it will come. But it's another thing to accept it.
It's just frustrating because I feel as though I'm a... How should I describe this? I'm a victim of my own inhibitions. That there are too many times where I want to do something, but there's this great big stop sign.
And why does that stop sign come up, first of all?
Well, I don't want to get Dr. Phil all new, so I'm
just,
not...
Just basically, is it you feel you don't trust the person or don't think it's going to go where you want it to go?
I was told once, not too long ago, by a friend that I'm actually quite a bit more reserved than I like to believe. And I think that's really getting to the bottom of it, that there is kind of a dualism, to use academic terms, that there is the Jack or Professor Heathcliff that I present to you and you and you, my faithful listener. I like you. Like more than a friend. And there is the one that I have within myself. And that dualism of character can be said for any of us, really.
I think, personally, that it boils down to confidence. Are you a confident person, Jack, when it comes to walking up to a bloke and saying, hey, you?
I think I pretend to be confident that it's a front.
Because I remember at a Vic Bears meeting talking about, you know, the whole kisses thing for charity. And there was a lot of talk about you being very upfront to other people, trying to get donations and kisses and things like that. And, you know, everybody was singing you praises about how well you did. And then I see you out and about and I think it's so not the same person. So I think it probably comes down to maybe a possible, you don't want to be, you know, rejected. I don't know. Sorry to go back to the whole Christian bloody love yourself before you love others and blah. It's like, if you can't believe in yourself, nobody will. People don't like high maintenance people, so they tend to shy away from that. So if you look like you're fun and you're easygoing and confident and stuff like that, then people are going to be immediately attracted to you. Confidence is a huge turn on for a lot of people.
Hmm.
If you show that you're funny and all that sort of stuff, people want to be around you.
So if I were to go, oh, put my hand over your shoulder and then politely say into your ear, hey, Ryan, can I ride your baloney pony?
Yeah, see, that would you would get pepper spray.
Oh.
But that's just a personal thing.
It's not about confidence in that situation.
No, I mean, that's wonderful. I would turn around and say, oh, I'm so proud you're confident, but get off me. And then spray you with pepper spray and kick you.
Oh,
it's like,
at least I feel something.
At least you're being somewhat penetrated.
Footing.
No, it just reminds me of a feeling. No.
What a feeling.
Yeah, that one.
Footy. Awkward.
Awkward. I would agree, yes, you need confidence. And to have confidence is to be comfortable with yourself and whatnot. But yeah, I agree with Ryan in saying that you pick up lines and your approach does need a bit of work.
Just need a bit of practice. All right.
I'm not saying it's bad. We're just saying to listen to it and take it seriously. You need crackers to go with that cheese. Yes. Jack, I have a bone to pick with you.
Which one?
Wow.
Humorous.
If I... Oh, my God.
Humorous bone.
If I didn't have to go home really soon, I would so... No, I'm not flagging either one of you. Before, you said about people that Twitter and things like that, that they're not special. We're all special. We have our own little idiosyncrasies and things like that.
We only like to believe that we're special.
True. Well, what little weird habits and guilty pleasures do you have that make you special, Jack?
Well, I have a hair-pulling compulsion, which you might find is a bit at odds with my cub identity, but whenever I'm bored and stressed, I would tend to pluck out my own hairs one by one. If I have a goatee, usually that tends to be the first place. So if you might find a patch on my right side, then that's probably why. So that tends to be why I tend to go a bit light on, because I just sit there in a lecture and just feel my hirsuteness, and then I kind of preen it a bit, and then it gets a bit more aggressive. And
you're then, a dominant manscaper.
And then I enjoy the feeling of just rubbing the hair up against my fingers, and it's quite odd. And it's something that I've done since I was like 11, when I was like plucking it out of my fringe.
Is this why we don't wax you for any flaggable punishments?
It's because all the hair's gone.
Well, the difference is that I'm doing it to myself. It's not somebody else. I mean, it's quite a different sensation. That and I pick my nose. Yeah. Oh my goodness, I breached a social taboo.
I pick my nose. But worst of all, I pick my nose in public and I don't care who's looking.
Yeah, agree.
Sorry to all those people, those prospective boyfriends that I have out there. But yeah, it is a habit that you will have to deal with me. Don't worry, I won't do it like during dinner or something. But if there's somebody in front of us at a movie that's pissing us off, oh yeah.
For moi, beside all the moods I get in and the different compulsions I get, like when I'm really stressed, I'll eat really crap and I'll just eat until I feel like I'm going to barf and all that sort of stuff. Another one I just thought of is actually when I'm driving, if I'm sitting at a traffic lights, I'm starting to believe I actually have some powers with the Force. Now, for all those for all those people who believe in the Jedi potential.
You mean all those people in the census which want to screw with the census people?
Well, yeah, but it's actually quite funny because I don't know if it's just sheer coincidence, like 90% of the time or whatever it is, but every time the lights change, I actually get a shiver. And depending on the different intensity of the shiver, well, depending on what's happening with the lights. So I'm starting to wonder, is it either a sense or is it an actual potential for telekinetic ability?
Oh, you better get those midichlorians checked.
I know. So yeah, that's like a weird kind of compulsion I have is to actually try and focus on the lights and make them change quicker.
Is that really a compulsion, though?
Yes.
I
drive...
So whenever you approach with light, it's like, you don't really mean to, but it's like, change.
Yeah,
change. People do that all the time.
Pretty much, but it
I was going to say, isn't that sort of to do with road rage?
No, it's actually... Because I drive these days most of my job.
Mm.
It's a way to pass the time, for one, but it's just one of those things that I kind of wave my hands and think it'll just happen, and... Believe it or not, most of the time it does, which is just peculiar. I don't know if it is sheer coincidence, which a lot of people would be saying, yes, it is. Just slap you in a white boxed room again. But yeah, that's one of those strange things that I'm starting to believe because it happens more often than not.
Hmm.
And those times where you drive through the orange light, knock the roof 3 times. It was one of those things I did when I was starting to go out clubbing. Yeah, one of those things you do. If you knock the roof 3 times, and if it happens 3 lights in a row, you've knocked the roof 9 times, you supposedly get lucky that night.
Your superstitions are
I
shit.
I was going to say, this is more sort of superstitions and old wives' tales and things like that.
Yeah, but how many people have gotten to the habits of these days if you knock salt over, you throw it over your shoulder? How many people just do that out of habit and compulsion these days?
I think better a bit of sense than that.
No, there is one that, as a joke, I still do to this day, which is, as when we were kids, whenever we went over train lines in the car, we'd always used to lift our legs up.
Yeah.
And when you went over the lines, if your feet touched the bottom, then whatever wish you made as you were going over the tracks wouldn't come true.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there are some times when I'm driving the car and I'll have my mates in the car and I'll drive over train tracks and I'll go, lift your legs. And everyone's like, what? But it's just one of those little funny things. So yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down, but I still think you're crazy. I wanted to ask you guys about a weird habit that I have, and I don't see it as weird. I just see it as being organizational. And that is that I am a huge neat freak, very, very severe neat freak, where my DVDs are in alphabetical order and they're also in genre. But that's mainly because if I'm looking for something, bang, I can find it straight away. my t-shirts, because I don't have a wardrobe, I have a bookcase. So all my t-shirts and everything are neatly folded, put away in colour and in hue. So when I'm looking for that particular shirt, I know exactly where it is.
Yes.
Everything is like stockpiled in like colours or piles of, you know, of whatever they are and little, you know, little groups and things like that. And it's because I want, you know, if I'm running late, then I know exactly where to look for it. But like, for example, a friend of mine that you both know said that I was weird because when I clean a bathroom sink, for example, I'll use an old toothbrush. And for me, it just makes sense. But he was like, you're bizarre. Little things like that. Do you think that is weird or...
I wouldn't say it's weird. Only because I do it as well. Ideally do it as well. I just can't always accommodate doing it as well because, for me, I'm a workaholic.
Well, I'm a workaholic too.
So, I will... 9 times out of 10, overload myself with things to do and never get around to the things I kind of wish I did. Such as, I'd love to organize my clothes in hue and color. I'd love to keep my DVDs in alphabetical order.
But your DVDs are in alphabetical order.
But I don't keep them in alphabetical order. I take one out and I put it in a pile which I've recently seen and just it fits there. Throw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've then got to eventually, like a librarian, go back and put it in its spot. So if you think my place is like a library where people come in, take it from its categorized order, and then when they're finished with it, they just put it on the desk and wait for somebody to put it back where it should be. And it gets like that on and on and on. Vacuuming, you know, general household bits and pieces like vacuuming's now well and truly overdue, you know, mopping, all those sorts of things. Because I'm so busy both with my job and then to try and get away from my job socially, a lot of the housework has now become very lax and organisation just almost gone out the window just for the sheer fact that I am now a workaholic. So I don't think what you're doing is weird, but I think the fact that you're prioritising that over a lot of other things would be the weirdness.
Well, I guess so. I mean, it's just time management skills that I've dealt with work. For example, you make your lunch before you go to bed, so you can sleep in for an extra 5 minutes because you don't have to make your lunch just when you wake up. I'll turn the iron on as soon as I wake up in the morning so I can iron a shirt as soon as I get out of the shower because the iron's hot. You know, it's that way of thinking.
Yeah, but sometimes that mode of thinking is just too much energy invested in the outlay than it's possibly worth. I mean, even though a situation might be unorganized, it doesn't mean that you don't know where anything is.
Well, that's true.
At least that's what I find. And germs are good for you. Most of them. I know that's hard for you to hear. Hard for you to relate to when I say that germs are good. But you've got to believe me. Put down the Dettol.
I'm not that bad. I mean, I must admit that I do have that hand wash stuff that you take everywhere with you. But that's mainly because you go out and about and you touch certain stuff. And where I live, there's a lot of breeders. There are a lot of people out there that, you know, they don't wash. You know, I live in a low end of the middle class. So I just keep it on hand if need be.
Well, isn't it nice how you kind of wash your hand to the lower middle class?
See, again... I'll throw to another situation comparing you to me in terms of cleanliness. For me, if I've got a little bit of dirt on my hands, I don't care anymore because the job I do, I deal with dirt, grease, grime, you name it, I deal with it. If it moves, it needs lubrication, I touch it.
No pun intended.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, of course, at the end of the day, but I come across and think, gee, have I changed ethnicity already because of the amount of crap I've dealt with on my hands? And provided I can at least see skin, like bare skin, I'll be happy. Some days I will come home and I will scrub until it bleeds to get it clean. And then that's only because I want to make an impression. But 9 times out of 10, I'm not too fussed about cleanliness. Again, that's because of what I deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Well, that's it. I mean, your job is very hands-on. I'm stuck behind a computer all day wearing, like right now, I'm wearing clothing for work, which is a business shirt, a woolen pullover / vest and slacks. You know, if I got my hands dirty, I have to wash them because I have to go touch computers and phones and things. Whereas if you get your hands dirty, that might actually help lubricate your next job that you're about to go to or something.
That and bleeding hands make such a good impression.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, gay men think you're butch if you got, you know, a bit of grease or dirt on your hands.
Calluses.
Ew. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're into leather gloves, you don't need to wear them, cookie. Just got your normal hands. It's all good. the boys will come a-running. Okay, well, that's weird.
I wouldn't think weird, but yeah.
All right. Well, that's weird habits. What about guilty pleasures?
Well, although I shouldn't, every chance I get, I pull out my toy collection.
Really? Like toy soldiers and Brum and...
Yeah, a little bit
soldiers,
more...
Soldiers,
yeah. Yeah. A little bit more smoother on the size, but a bit
your favourite 11 and a half inch doll. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, those ones.
11 and a half being the operative words there.
Yeah, yeah. So, of course, I tend to pull them out when I've got a spare 5 minutes, and the problem is I shouldn't all do it as much, particularly when you overdo that particular activity and cause a bit of...
Overexertion.
Yeah, that one. But I still tend to do it, so yeah, go figure. Out of good sexual habit, I wank at least once a day.
That's a guilty pleasure. But you feel guilty about it?
Well, no, but I think it's
relevant. It's more pleasure than guilty.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's quite relevant to keep my level of sanity on normal levels.
That's right. Keep the proletariat sexually satisfied and they won't rise up.
Yes. But yes, failing that chocolate, that'd be my other major guilty pleasure.
Your guilty pleasures suck. I mean, the toys thing, that's kind of cool. But the whole wanking thing, everybody does it. The chocolate thing, everybody does it.
Yeah, well, just because you don't help me with the toys thing.
I'm never here when you're out playing with your toys. And even if you were, I'd give them voices and names and things like that. Exactly. Exactly. See? Who needs that when they try to get off? Unless that's your other guilty pleasure. And then in that case, we won't go there.
It's a rocket ship to the moon.
To the moon. I get it. Ha ha.
All right. Come on. Yours.
My guilty pleasure.
Spill.
I must admit, I still play a lot of kids' games. I love kids' games.
Not like cookies, toys?
Yeah, no, that I'm... When you're actually talking about toys, I mean toys. Like, I love playing with Lego and train sets and all that sort of stuff. And with my, you know, my niece and nephews, you know, I like playing all the board games and I'm addicted to board games. And just recently I bought all these video games for Nancy Drew, which I'm really getting into and all that sort of stuff. I love kids' games. I love Steps. I used to know all the dance moves and I failed myself the other day. I created a playlist that I could play while I was getting ready for work in the shower and I have Love's Got a Hold on My Heart and I tried to remember the dance moves and I couldn't.
You probably would have slept in the shower anyway.
Yes.
So. Well, besides the fact that we've got like a water shortage on, so I really shouldn't be dancing in the shower.
I have to admit, although I love Steps, the only one I do remember is 5, 6, 7, 8.
Ryan,
which is the first one, so you go for it.
You're so into age regression.
What, I've got Peter Pan syndrome?
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing until you start putting on the nappies.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yes.
That will never, ever happen.
We'll wait for another 70 years and then...
Well, 70 years, I'll be dead. Because if I ever need somebody to wipe my ass in old age, I'll pull the plug. Seriously. What about Jack? Your guilty pleasures?
I'm really fond of persimmons. They are a tomato-sized fruit that have the shape of the tomato, but kind of have a nutty flavour. Kind of like a...
Oh, for eating. Okay.
Like, yeah, I was going to say,
like a pumpkin.
Oh, okay.
And they are available only in the autumn time. So last year I went and bought myself a persimmon tree. So hopefully I will have persimmons for myself in a couple of years' time.
I was going to say, it's autumn now. So are you sort of reveling? But obviously not.
Is that an odd guilty pleasure?
No. I mean, I completely forgot about food as a guilty pleasure. Probably my biggest guilty pleasure with food is peanut butter and jam sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Love them. Biggest comfort food. Or peanut butter and Nutella.
I don't really think that I have a lot of guilty pleasures because besides what we were talking about before, I don't actually have an awful lot of guilt. That I find that the best things in life tend to be on a sensory level first. So I'm talking about looking at what I consider to be pretty things, hearing music that I find pleasing, good food. And it's not guilty to like that, although it is considered a bit base to consider sensory stimulation as one of the best things in life.
But like a guilty pleasure is something that you enjoy that a lot of people might shun. Well, so for example, the only films. One I can, well, probably not that, that's more guilt than pleasure. But one of the things I can think of off the top of my head that I know that you like that not a lot of other people I know like is meatloaf.
That's you love me. It's only a guilty pleasure in the gay community, that's all. They got,
look, I don't mind Meatloaf.
You fags have no appreciation for rock music.
I don't mind his music. I quite like his music. But as a person, Meatloaf shits me to tears. That's why I don't really listen to a lot of his stuff. He's an arrogant prick.
Well, I'd say the same about Michael Jackson.
Let's not touch that.
Is he your guilty pleasure? Well, or?
No, I... At one point, I did like a lot of his music, but again, the person behind the voice, no. But another guilty pleasure, which I'm just come to mind, is I'm a bit of a nudist.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, well, I had no idea.
Nudity in
my voice was dripping with sarcasm.
You just share the guilt with everybody at that pool night on an every other week.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. The fact that you need to go to a specific event just to be nude in a pool. It's not something that is acceptable as well.
Well, not really. I mean, go to a sauna. Everybody's nude there.
Again, that's a specific place for a specific group of people. It's not like you can just go down to your local swimming pool where mum and dad and the kids are and get nude.
Well, shunned. I kind of agree that it is a bit of a guilty pleasure because anybody could go to a sauna and get naked and swim around. You actually choose to do it in a public venue where it's not just a sex on site premises. It's actually, you're actually there to revel in being an exhibitionist, if you will.
Mm.
So in a sense, yeah, that probably is more of a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Ooh, I could have a guilty pleasure.
Ooh, go.
Making snide remarks about the socialist alternative on campus.
I thought you were going to say making snide comments, and it's like, wow, okay, that's like about 100% of the gay community, I think.
Yeah.
Other than the dead ones. And even then, Oscar Wilde, I think, is still pretty much up there.
He can resist everything except for temptation.
That's right.
Okay, this is where we have our open board where we let out all our notes. Normally, it's just shout-outs, but we actually have a few more to add in particular this week. And the first is probably the most saddest of them all. My family dog of 9 years, her name was Babs, had to be put down this week due to internal injuries. Now, for all those who don't know my family, please know that she has had a long-suffering condition called Cushing's disease, where her body overproduced cortisone. So we've known for quite a long time that this was coming, but not directly for the reasons we thought. So she has been suffering over the last couple of weeks because of hormonal imbalances and the overproduction of cortisone. But we all now feel that she's in a lot better place and is and not suffering for it. So thank you for all those who have already given support, and thanks to those coming.
Let's have a moment of silence for Babs. Okay, moment over.
Thank you very much. The next big thing that we are going to announce is that we have organised and is coming up on the 25th of April at the Laird Hotel.
The Great Debate.
The Great Debate. We're out of the dungeon studios and into the real world.
No!
Melbourne lookout. Cubby House is on the loose.
Yeah. Now, we have finalised on a topic, and the particular topic for this debate will be for a bear.
Is sex better than food?
So that will be happening on Anzac Day at the Laird Hotel as part of the Vic Bears Den night for that month. So if you are around, we encourage you to come down. We are after audience backgrounds and noise and semi-participation when it comes to the verdicts.
Yeah, no heckling.
No heckling. So, and we are trying to make it a comedy, a light-hearted debate. So it's not going to be a high school debate where one's pulling knives against the other.
Sound a bit more excited about this, Cookie. You're making it sound as like it's the general school announcements. Like,
that's
the debating
fine.
Team will be having a debate on the 25th of April, and they'll be debating, is sex better than food?
Look, it'll be interesting if somebody brings a condom over a knife, put it that way.
Put a condom over a knife?
Yeah.
As is in, like, safe eating?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So isn't there, like, the fork a better symbol?
I was going to say a spoon, no, maybe, spoon? Because, like, the fork and the knife can actually penetrate through the condom.
No. I have one worse.
Uh-oh.
Fear the spork.
The spork.
The spork.
Oh, I thought you were going to go, like, the rolling pin or something. That would be interesting.
So, that's apparently, just another sex object. All being well, there won't be any glassing, but unfortunately, there won't be any spooning either. So,
spooning leads to forking, as they say.
So, yes, if you're in around the Laird on the 25th of April, come down and have a laugh.
Yay.
Yee. I don't think we've done a podcast since we went to Mardi Gras and chill out.
No, we haven't. How was Mardi Gras, Cookie?
Mardi Gras was really good. Like, in comparison to last year, it was a little bit dead, but the vibe was still there. It was still up and running. I'd like to say a big shout out to all the guys I caught up with in Sydney. Also to the Bears in the City guys who couldn't exactly host me for a podcast while I was up there. But thank you very much for the attempt anyway.
You still haven't returned our calls. Why don't we return our calls?
A big shout out to both Tim and Michael, who I spent a lot of time with socially while I was up there. And also to a guy by the nickname of Dutchy, who helped us out with accommodation.
Could he have been Dutch?
Or was he a stoner?
Yeah, how was Chill Out?
Chill Out was... It was actually really good. Chill Out was... for all these people who don't know, Chill Out is like... It's a big gay festival, but it's out sort of like in a giant paddock.
If you've ever seen Brokeback Mountain, think of that as a festival.
No.
Okay. It's a country version. Come on.
Well, yeah, it is a country version. It's out in Daylesford, which is about an hour and a half sort of west of Melbourne.
Yeah.
And it's out in the Springs sort of country.
They had Baba.
They did have Baba, and they also had Leo Sayer as well doing... I feel thunder in my heart.
I'm dancing. Whoa, keep going.
Yeah, no.
That was the reason why I stopped.
We'll get the strobe light out.
No, if it keeps going,
just smack you with. No, it was really good. I must admit, I was only there shortly. I got there quite late and I had to leave quite early. So I only managed to spend probably about 2-3 hours there. But we did have a lot of people come up. And the Greek and gay stall that was next to us had non-stop Greek music and non-stop Turkish delight and Turkish coffee. And the drag queens there certainly kept us entertained. So a big shout out to all those guys. It was an interesting event, and I do hope that more people can come along next year, but it was huge, the amount of people that were there.
You were at the Vic Bears stall, yeah.
Of course I was at the Vic Bears stall, and a big shout-out to all the Vic Bears, and a big shout-out to Woof. Woof, yes, that's it. A big shout-out to James and Luke, who allowed me to stay with them on the floor in the lounge room in front of a roaring fire. It was very romantic.
If only you had someone to share it with.
I did, well, going back to guilty pleasures, I sleep with a teddy bear, so I took my teddy bear with
you
me.
You too?
Yeah.
No, what's yours called?
Flozzy.
Flozzy. Mine's Brendan.
Well, it was nicknamed Flozzy because the bloke who bought it for me, that's what I call him. His name's Florian, but as a nickname, I call him Flozzy.
Oh, I just named mine after a really, really hot guy who works at a store I frequent fairly often. We might actually talk to him.
Brendy Bear.
Yeah, we might actually talk to him in future podcasts. Also, big shout out to Cubs Out Loud guys who always, always speak highly of us. Thank you very much to you guys. We love you. And somebody's got a crush on the Griff.
Hi, Griff. I think you sound hot. I don't know what you look like because I don't really listen to other podcasts or anything, but you sound like Seth Rogen. And if you're half as woofy as what he is, then yeah, when you get to Sydney, you might not leave.
Yeah.
I've actually got a shout out from Daylesford because I was there for a while.
How did you enjoy Chill Out?
I pretty much did the circuit around the place once. And then I figured that I'd pretty much seen everything there is to see. I wasn't particularly interested in the bands. But the thing that really I found interesting is that I stumbled across a survey that was being done by the Australian Research Centre into Health, Sexuality and Society, which is a department that I had not heard about, that of La Trobe University. So I've kind of been in talks with those people, and it's giving me something to strive for. It's a good thing.
Sweet.
Research at the Australian Research Centre for Sex, Community and Health.
Any more shout-outs?
Shout-out to the listeners. We love you. Yes. Thanks for making us.
Thank you for keeping with us for the last couple of weeks. We've kind of been up and down and crazy with our podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, thank you very much for keeping with all of that. And if you'd like to check out any more information and our blog, it's all on our website, thecubbyhouse.net.au. You can call the Skype line
on 9005-PLAY and the appropriate area codes and zoning codes. And you can also log on to our Facebook site, which we have two of, The Cubby House or The Cubby House Horde.
Mm. And if you'd like to email us, podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au. Now, we've also got business cards in circulation around Melbourne now, so keep an eye out for that if you have somebody who you'd like to make mention of it.
And just really quickly, we haven't actually had any emails about our Agony Art section. Quite a while ago, we created this Agony Art section hoping that people would write in, tell us about their problems, and we could help them out, and nobody has done. So, I don't know if to say congratulations to everybody for having such fantastic lives, because I sure as shit don't. Or to say, why are you being so shy? We're here for you, so... Right in.
Maybe they don't consider you a figure of authority with their problems.
Maybe they don't trust you because you can't be trusted to sit on a chair for 5 minutes.
Nah, touche.
It was worth it.
For show 14, I'm Cookie.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm on my knees.
Begging pretty please.
See you later.
Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.